Our passage of scripture for this morning is taken from the letter to the Hebrews in the 13th chapter, verses 5 through 8. Let us listen to the word of God. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us pray. Our loving and gracious God, we do give you thanks for these words of hope and peace and assurance. Grant, O Lord, that we may so listen that these words may take root in our hearts and bear fruit in our world, to the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. It's good to be with you on this, the first day of the new year. Every New Year's Day, we can depend on two things. One, we're going to have a great meal and stuff ourselves till we can barely shove our chair away from the table. At least that's the way it was in my house where I grew up. And there's another thing that we can depend on. We're going to hear a lot of predictions about what's going to happen next year. Now, I don't know why people insist on making predictions about things that nobody could possibly know, and which often turn out to be pretty wide the mark. But they do. So I hope you'll allow me to share with you a few such predictions that have been made, some of which were made on New Year's Day and others possibly not. Prediction number one. The horse is here to stay, but the automobile is a fad. This prediction was made in 1905 by a financial institution to explain why they refused to invest in an automobile factory run by Henry Ford. 1920, another prediction. A rocket will never be able to leave the Earth's atmosphere. I can't remember who made that prediction, but evidently confidence in technology just continued to grow by leaps and bounds as time went on, because in 1955, here is this prediction from Newsweek magazine. Nuclear-powered vacuum cleaners will become a reality in 10 years. Nobody told Mr. Dyson that, I guess. How about this one in 1959? Before man walks on the moon, your mail will be delivered within hours from New York to Australia by guided missiles. That prediction came from none other than the United States Postmaster General. In 1966, there's a prediction made that is more on a pedestrian level by Time magazine. People only want to shop in stores. Remote shopping, while entirely feasible, will flop. I guess Jeff Bezos didn't get the memo on that one. Finally, the prediction that I agree with the most comes from nuclear scientist Niels Bohr, who said, "Prediction is very difficult, especially about the future." Again, why is it that people insist on making such outlandish predictions? Well, there could be a lot of reasons, but I believe one reason is that we human beings have a hard time dealing with uncertainty. So sometimes we latch on to pronouncements from people who seem to know what they're talking about. We are so uncomfortable with uncertainty that in some situations we may even prefer to get bad news rather than no news at all. Of course, like the patient who says to his doctor, "Give it to me straight, doc. Don't sugarcoat the pill. I just want to know." Uncertainty is often associated with fear and insecurity and lack of control. If we don't know what course to take, then how do we know which way to steer? We might sail safely right into the mouth of the harbor, or else we might wind up wrecked on the rocks. Who knows? Quite a dilemma to face. Well, I'm going to step right out on a limb here, and I'm going to make my own New Year's prediction right here and now. I know it's just, you know, on a limb, but in all likelihood, I predict that in the new year, we will all have some good days and we will all have some bad days. And I'll stand by that prediction. And I'm going to do myself even one better and make one more prediction. In the new year, come what may, Jesus Christ will be the same yesterday and today and forever. And I'll stand by that prediction too. What does it mean to say that he is the same yesterday and today and forever? Simply put, it means that he is still around. It means that he is just as alive, as active today as he was way back then in the olden times, and that he will be in times yet to come. It's a statement of faith in the resurrection. It means that the power and purpose of God cannot be ultimately changed or thwarted. And that power is personified in Jesus Christ, who is, as the scripture says, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This verse does not strike me as an abstract statement that might be found in a book of theology. On the contrary, it sounds like somebody who's been reflecting on his own life and has some hard-won advice to pass along to us. It sounds less like theory and more like experience, like sending out an SOS when you need to, or better yet and more up to date, calling 911 to get help from somebody who's always there and who's always ready to listen and who's always willing to render aid. As I look back on my own life, there were times when God pulled me through problems that were not of my own making. As a young person, for example, I contracted an illness from which I very nearly died. Why I was chosen to live and others in similar circumstances might not have been, I can't say. I can only say that I'm grateful. On the other hand, There were also times when the ditch I found myself in was the one I had dug myself. And I'm grateful to God for pulling me out. One such time, for example, was when I got dumped by a lady I was dating. And as upsetting as it was at the time, I've thanked God many times since then that it worked out that way. And you know what? I'm pretty sure she has said the same thing herself. In the prophet Malachi in the Old Testament, it is written, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, have not perished." Whether our problems are of our own making or not of our own making, we can count on the constancy and goodness of God to help us get through them. Only one thing we do have to keep in mind: we need to let God answer our prayers in His way, not in our way. The purpose of prayer, after all, is not to get God to do what we want in our lives, but for us to align our lives with what God wants to do in them. And to say that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever is to say that we can trust in God for the future and for the ultimate future. Throughout my ministry, I focus on the goodness of God and not on heaven per se, because it's so easy to make heaven the reward for your own earthly efforts and not what it really is, which is the place where we will feel ultimately the most at home. My wife of 36 years died in 2010, I miss her very much, but I don't begrudge her the happiness of being where she belongs, where we all belong, and where I hope to join her someday. How can I hope to do that? Because I have a good enough mark on my spiritual scorecard? No. Because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And so will we all. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you and bless you for these encouraging words of Scripture upon which we can rest our faith, and which give us hope and comfort. Be with us as we continue, O Lord, to walk through this scene of our earthly pilgrimage until, in your grace, we become a part of the world as you intend it to be and as you will bring it about. And this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.